This is James Murray on behalf of Marcia McMahon, host of Peaceful Planet, inviting you to join us as we share messages from the Ascended Masters and Archangels with the intention of lifting you up into a higher vibration of love and peace for the planet. Do you like music, angels, and channeling? Are you spiritual, a psychic, or a healer? Then tune in to Peaceful Planet every other Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Central on BBS Radio Station 1. Each week, we bring you cutting-edge world teachers, and we share with you profound works like the Jesus Mysteries, the Ascension Series, and other divinely inspired messages and music. Do you want to accelerate your spiritual purpose? If so, then sign up for a psychic reading, Reiki healing, or an angel class with spiritual teacher Marcia McMahon. Just visit DianaSpeaksToTheWorld.com for more information. You'll also find divinely inspired channel artwork from Princess Diana, John Lennon, and Archangel Michael. Don't forget to check out Marcia's latest release, available on Amazon.com, entitled Notes from John, Message from Across the Universe, featuring the messages of the late John Lennon and inspired lyrics to the songs of the Half-Beats. We thank you for joining us, and we look forward to hearing from you on the Peaceful Planet Show every other Saturday, 4 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern, on BBS Radio Station 1.
Welcome, everybody, this evening to the Peaceful Planet. We have another great episode. This is January the 28th, and we're back with a wonderful channel and guest, Rose Campbell, and I have quite a few announcements and quite a few messages that you'll really enjoy this evening from both myself and Rose, and I think the messages have been orchestrated together from the spirit realm as well, because I just received a message from the late 35th President John Fitzgerald Kennedy, and it's an awesome message. And then Rose has some messages, I believe, from the late Dr. Martin Luther King. Is that correct, Rose?
Yes, I do.
Good. Now, before I get to Rose's work, I want to read some excerpts from my book and a little bit of a review, because I finally published Princess Diana's Message of Peace, the second edition, and it only took me 4 months, and I'm very proud of it. It's titled Princess Diana's Message of Peace, an Extraordinary Message of Peace for Our Current World, and it was originally published in 2003. It's being republished, and it's interesting, and I want to read some descriptions to you about what the book is all about. If you're a regular listener to our show, you know that I channel Princess Diana regularly on the show, and I've been working with her since 2001 on issues of world peace and solving the dilemma of spreading terrorism, and also her messages to her sons, etc. So what would Princess Diana look like had she lived? What would have been her passion for the world? Would her work have survived in some form? And was she one of the most outstanding humanitarians of the 20th century? She certainly was a raving beauty, and the world sadly lost her so many years ago. But if you've ever wondered what Princess Diana's most intimate thoughts were on the real and true meaning of her life, or how she felt after the transition we call death, and what she might have wanted to say to her adoring public, this book is full of wisdom and insight from the late Diana. You need look no further, because in the book, Princess Diana's Message of Peace by Marcia McMahon, Diana speaks in her first anniversary message delivered by Marcia, has been channeling Diana for over 15 years now. The book dates back to Marcia's first contact with Diana, back in 2001, she contacted Marcia and asked her to be her scribe for her part of the world on behalf of world peace. And in the midst of her tragedy and divorce and death, Diana speaks candidly as she did on the Panorama interview, from life on her true purpose and meaning of her life, which was to become the Queen of Hearts. And as she well put it in her farewell speech from life in 93, is she with Dodi Fayed, and what does she do now? And is she continuing her causes from the heavenly realms? All of these questions and quandaries you will find answers to in the book. She goes on with her life in a similar way, and she offers her sons beautiful and loving messages of advice and correct prophecy about their function as princes and then light workers for the royal family. And what advice would she have for our leaders today if she were still alive? So the book is full of my messages and also other famous channels, including the late Robert Murray, who has been channeling Diana since the same time that I have, and we met by connection on the Internet. So basically, the messages are corroborative in nature, and I also met a famous psychic medium who worked in an England shop in the UK who was Princess Diana's personal medium in life. And I went out on an anonymous trip one day and visited a spiritualist church to see if I could get confirmation for Diana. And there he stood at the podium, and he identified Diana standing next to me. So you really have to read the book and get the golden nuggets of what Diana is predicting and prophesying for our world. One of the first things I got from her was about the earth changes and the commencing of the tidal changes in the ocean and the various earth changes that would be continuing, culminating in a lot of storms and severe storms, and we've seen that. So that was first prophesied back in 2001. So she goes a lot into how she's been apparently overlighting the United States and Great Britain ever since the tragedy of September 11th, and she has taken on the cause of world peace to solve the spreading dilemma of terrorism, and her messages are dated, and I'm also illustrating the book. Now, if you want to get a hold of the book, you're going to have to check back in a few days. It will be up on Amazon, and you want to be sure to click on the second edition, because the first edition is more or less out of print, and some other person, unbeknownst to me, it may be the old publisher, it may not be, someone is bootlegging my book, and I don't want you to buy that edition, so look for the second revised edition. And I also want to give a big thanks to Dorothy Mercer. Dorothy May Mercer is a wonderful publisher, editor, author, and a whiz at everything that you need in the publishing world. And she writes mysteries and travelogue and autobiography and just everything. And she's really a whiz when it comes to editing and organizing your books. So find her on the web at mercerpublications.com. And a big thank you to Dorothy Mercer for her help and guiding me to republishing the book. We had the book in form. I thought it would take a day. It took 4 months. So that's the way it goes. I've spent my winter doing this book. But I'm very dedicated to Diana's message, so I do hope you'll buy the book. It's a collector's item. And, of course, Rose Campbell is here with us, and she is also a gifted medium for the late Diana, and she's written a book with Diana as well. And this evening we're going to be focusing on, I think the focus is on the late President John Fitzgerald Kennedy. I have a message from Diana, and then Rose is going to be bringing in her recent messages from the late Martin Luther King. So there have been changes fast and swift at the top level in our government here in the United States, with President Donald Trump signing a proclamation of this, that, or the other every single day since he took office. And it seems like it's, you know, it's just been a little bit overwhelming, to say the least, at the amount of change that he's been enacting and the claims that he is making about the voting fraud seem very suspicious, and so John F. Kennedy has a message, and we'll probably read that shortly, and then Princess Diana also has a message, and I wanted to ask you how long you'll need for your messages, and when would you like to present yours, or what are you thinking, Rose?
I don't have any preset conditions. I would say it will probably take me 7 minutes to read what I have. So
yeah.
As long as we can work that around,
I am sure we will work it around, and we have lots to cover this evening, and I will be opening up our phone lines as well if you would like to ask a question of myself or Rose. And I'm going to open with Diana's message, and then I'll volley back and forth, go to Rose, and then I'll come back to JFK, and we'll take your calls. If you have a question or you would like to ask Rose something or you'd like to ask me. Now, we're both mediums as well, and I am taking questions this evening. If you are in a conundrum or a quandary and you would like to ask for a mini reading, you may do so when we pause. But when I'm reading, I prefer that you wait till I'm done reading the message or the Rose, wait for Rose to be done reading her messages before you ask us. And we're both very gifted and do a lot of sessions with Spirit. And Rose's website is sessionswithspirit.info/links, and you can hear all the interviews that she's done with Andrew Russell Davis, and he is a full voice channel for Diana as well. So all of we genuine and authentic Diana channels are in the minority in the world right now, and yet she's chosen us, and we work loosely together to support one another and also get very corollary messages at the same time from the late Diana. So this promises to be a fascinating evening, so do stay tuned with us. And, of course, our number is either if you're on the cell phone, you can press 1, or if you have a question and you'd like to call in, the call-in number for callers tonight is 888-627-6008 on line 1 for the Peaceful Planet. And so on the theme of featuring presidents and thinking about presidents of the past who graced us with their presence and their abundance and their continued commitment to liberty and freedom and justice, among them this evening we will be hearing from the late John Fitzgerald Kennedy, which I just got the message. It's hot off the press just an hour ago. And then I have Princess Diana's message as well. So I'm going to bring forth John Fitzgerald Kennedy first, and then I will bring forth Diana. So this is John Fitzgerald Kennedy speaking to you from the great beyond. My fellow Americans, I am asking you to examine in this evening your call to action and your conscience as America's conscience as well. I am honored to be on your show this evening and been wanting to speak with you on this topic for quite some time. It seems that the President, Donald Trump, is not adhering to ethics and fair practice concerning the Voting Rights Act, which I helped to enact along with my honored colleague who is with me in spirit this evening, Dr. Martin Luther King. The Voting Rights Act was accomplished only through the sacrifice of a great many people, both black and white, in the 1960s when they walked from Selma. Many spent time in jail, as did my friend Dr. Martin Luther King, and it is as well my brother Bobby was also killed by the very same people that didn't want progress in your great country, or our great country, the United States of America. This conspiracy runs deeper than you'd ever imagine, and it was so very obvious at the same time. Anyone can go and look up the movie that was done by Oliver Stone, because he was close, but he wasn't quite right. But you could see the connections between others that envied me and wanted me out of office. At that time, I had planned to grant civil rights, and I respected the disobedience allowed for in this Constitution. It appears that I'm very disappointed in this president who is undermining the voting rights of particularly the people of color in the South, and I don't think he has a grasp on the Constitution. In my day, when I was alive, the Soviet Union was thought to be the enemy, and they were a major threat, I can assure you. I want to say again, speaking as I do look over your vast country with grave concern at this time, that they are still a threat and that the Cold War may yet resume when Putin decides that he has enough of Trump's games. He may invade the border countries. I'm speaking particularly of my concerns about Eastern Europe, and I'm saying that this listening audience anyway, that the people of America must band together and continue to demand straight answers and continue the people's rights of civil disobedience and constitutional rights such as freedom of speech. I see it as these very freedoms are being eroded away, and they need to be bolstered. I commend the great sacrifices of all the great spirits that I'm with this evening, including Abraham Lincoln, Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, of course, the beautiful Princess Diana, who I did not have the great pleasure of knowing while in life. My wife and I, Jacqueline, continue to oversee this great country with alongside me my son, John, who writes for the e-zine The Stars Still Shine with Bob Murray. All of us are concerned about the fragile experiment in America we call democracy. At a time when the world needs unity and love, we're about to express that in the 60s with the great movements that happened at that time. We feel there hasn't been enough progress and that humanity can't go back to the old ways. Too many have suffered and given their lives in service to America in the name of democracy to go back on democracy and let freedom of speech be squelched, or to let the Voting Act be squelched. This is a decoy mechanism, as I read it from President Trump, in order not to let the CIA or FBI do a proper investigation into the manipulations from Putin and Russia into the United States election. Trump is a clever businessman and honed on business skills, but I think he needs to be educated on the fundamentals of the Constitution. So I ask all good Americans listening this evening to write your congressmen and women, ask that the rights of the people and the decisions that are being made day after day with his signature be rightfully debated and queried, and the questions posed to your congressmen and women. That your president has an agenda to wipe out constitutional rights, it seems, and you must write your senators and elected officials and continue to demonstrate until such time as the American Republic has been restored. I am humbly John F. Kennedy, 35th President of America, and I ask your prayers for America at this time and for the world. So, wow.
Yeah, that was pretty good. That was deep.
Yeah, well, he really had a lot to say, and I wasn't expecting in this. And remember, these are messages from Spirit, do not necessarily reflect my personal opinions on the matter of the presidency or the constitutional rights, but I've been watching the news quite a bit this week, and on PBS and other news outlets, I've seen a lot of insults being hurled at the news, and they're basically being considered to be the enemy, but the news outlets and the free speech goes hand in hand with democracy, and I heard Kellyanne Conway say something like, well, you know, she said it to Judy Woodruff on PBS, that the media just needs to shut up and listen for a while. And Judy said, well, Kellyanne, does the media need to shut up and just listen? Like a rhetorical question. Oh, my God, I was so freaked out when I heard that, you know. So it appears that he's at war with the media, and he's got an alternative spin on his message. And so it's very interesting that Kennedy came forth. I've channeled him but one other time, so it must have been urgent in his mind. And I thought that it was a very eloquent message, and I think I'm going to post it on my website and send it around in an email. So it's a powerful message. And he's apparently with your friend, Dr. Martin Luther King. So have you got Dr. Martin Luther King on the line this evening, Rose?
Well, I do have a message that he gave me.
Great. And I'm anxious to hear it.
It's not exactly current as of this week. This actually was written in a series of treatises that I worked with him on in 2006. but I swear the message that I chose could have been written for today.
Oh, really? And well, do go forth then.
I think it's very applicable for today.
Mm-hmm.
In light of, especially JFK's words, but what we see going on now in the last year. So he entitled this, may I go ahead and read it?
Oh, yes, I asked you to. Yes, indeed.
Well, I will say this. When you, in the way that I channel, I am a clairaudient channel, so I hear the words, word for word for word.
That's how
now,
I work,
now, of course,
yeah.
I hear, it's a thought voice, but there was very much, I could hear in that, maybe, I don't know if you could say the timber of MLK's voice. And I know that my reading of this will not do it justice, but I'll give it my best shot.
Well, I was trying to come up with a Bostonian accent to be truthful with you for the late JFK, and I could hear him in my mind with that strong, you know, Boston accent and everything, but I couldn't do it. I'm not good at in being an impersonator, but I wish I could get to that level. So just do your best, and I'm sure it will still resound equally as powerfully.
Well, this treatise he entitled The Ways and Means to Salvation. I once preached the means to salvation. I once worked up sweats and nerves trying to get my flock to follow the path to salvation. Many of the things I spoke of were indeed heartfelt. I would not have been one who would repeat those things I did not believe in. Often spoke the ways of the Lord as I understood it and had been given to understand it, and of that I am free to say that I felt no remorse. I was a man on fire with trying to find my own salvation and the helping to lead others to it. As pure as my heart was then with the convictions of my belief, I must say I have been shown now a more excellent way. Those things that I spoke of and believed in then were but the understanding of a babe who had not grown in the fullest of knowledge. Perhaps even now I am but a babe in the true fullness of knowledge, but what I wish to share today is what I have come to know and believe since having left my earthly pulpit. Today I stand to correct a few of my former statements. I was fired up with the idea that should I, or others, live in such and such a way, then glory and salvation would be ours. But I have come to know that even those who do not live in such ways also share in life eternal. All share the glory of eternal life. This is fact. It is something I now know and wish to share. Do others deserve it that do not follow the ways of the Lord as I once was told? Yes. Does there exist a judgment for things done in man's time on earth? Yes. But it is the sorting of those who would perish, but is it a sorting of those who would perish from the memory of the Lord and be banned to places of torment? No. There is no such arrangement here. There is no judgment but that which is passed upon oneself, as I have said before several times in these writings. There is no end to life eternal, and there is no scale that determines who perishes and who resides forever in the Lord's care. I use here some of the phrases of my former ministry. I use here the phrases of the ministries being taught in many lands and many cultures. But the truth of the matter is that the language of these statements are confining. How do you use words to convey the vastness of eternity, the vastness of the love that is deity? None exist that are not in the care of love. None exist which are deserving of eternal destruction. Yes, the body may be changed, as clothes are changed when traveling from one place to another. The personality may alter as it does even over an earthly lifetime. But the essence of who I was before I became Martin Luther King and of who I am now, that I am no longer that mere man, continues. It is the eternal aspect of us all, and it is ever in the care of love. When one assumes that life that this life being led is the only life, then there is great room for things such as greed, dissension, and hate. When one fights to gain a salvation that they are being told only comes to their brand of belief, there is even more room for hate and fear. When people are led to believe that justice is meted out by some vengeful force, oh, then how great their fear grows. However, when one knows that those whom you see as infidels will also deserve a plot of land in eternity and will become your neighbors there, where is the room for greed and fear? How does it behoove you to fight with those you will see over and over again in the cycles of life? What if men knew that all were loved equally and that what role you play now will be reversed in the days to come? Does this not add a new dimension to the ways and means of salvation? To hold another as less than you because they are not Catholic or white or tall or smart or whatever your belief should be is wrong. The face of deity knows none of these things as less than. The face of deity, should you call that deity God or Allah or Bubba, is not concerned with the transitory things of this world. There is no judgment from deity. That is a man-made conception that is in error. But this error is the foundations of the many things that others use to judge one another. It is the basis of separation and segregation of the brotherhood of mankind. It is the metaphorical serpent in the Garden of Eden. Think now of the strife in your world. Is it not because of judgment? Is it not because someone thinks another's way of being wrong? What about the wars being waged now because one group feels another is not correct in their beliefs about deity? What about the man who robs another because he feels the other has more than he does? Is that a form of judgment that someone else does not deserve what labor and toil has brought to him? If each of you in your earlier spoken of easy chairs were consumed with judging your own beliefs, actions, and control of resources, then where would the time be to judge your neighbor? Do you see the rafter in your own eye? You are judging, and why? Let thy neighbor alone. See first to your own house and the rooms within it. Sweep only your own home, for if your own home is not clean, then can there be judgment of another? When the world releases the error of thinking that any one person, despite their beliefs, their color, their actions, or their worth and earthly value is less than in the eyes of deity, then they shall know the peace of this world. There is no acrimony in this world, for there is no basis of judgment for another, only of self. Judgment of another is not found here, either by self or deity. Let that world understand what it is I try to do. I try and correct even my own assumptions of that time as the man Martin. I try and ignite the understanding that judgment and the false belief in judgment of deity are the root of much evil in the world. It is not, as the old saying goes, money, but rather judging one through the means of money, color, and beliefs in deity. Can you change the world through a change of belief? Oh, how mighty that indeed would be. How great the freedom when the beliefs change. But you can only change your own belief. To judge another for the beliefs they hold is not the thing, you see. You must change the world by your own action and leave the action of others for their own judgment. But if all you could know of the freedom of releasing judgment, then soon the shift would become widespread. As each man decides the value of what I and others say from this world, then changes their modes of belief and therefore judgment, the world would correct much of the things not conducive to peace. Peace is never found in judgment. It is found when that love that is deity is expressed in lack of judgment. This is the way and means of salvation to your world. And I thought this was fitting. I thought this was fitting at this time because, in my estimation, it seems that a lot of the judgments that we had taken strides in and we had laid them down and, or tamped them down, they're all being stirred up. The racial issues, the issues of religion.
Well, you know, just today, Trump signed another bill where no one with a green card is allowed to leave the United States and come back in. If they leave, they're gone for good. They can't come back, you know? So my brother just texted me that there's massive demonstrations going on in Washington, D.C. this evening. He just sent me a text. So he's in D.C. at the moment working there, and he's right in the heartbeat of the whole thing, and he's seeing it. And, you know, this platform of racism and everything else that he seemed to stir up with his campaign has upset the cherished values that we've sought to establish for equality for everyone for so long. And like JFK said, so many people laid down their lives for these very voting rights and essential freedoms and democracies, the freedom to speak, the freedom of the press. These are all guaranteed, and it seems as if they're trying to reverse the course of history and go back and rewrite it or something, and it's just not going to work. The people aren't going to stand for it. So,
right.
You know, go ahead with your thoughts on.
I agree. This was
really profound. I'm sorry. Speak up again. I didn't quite hear it.
I would say I agree with you on a lot of it, but what I get from MLK message, which I said earlier was written 10 years ago. Now, we know that people on the other side of the veil, they have a bigger bird's eye view of the big picture, and they can possibly see what's coming. And it could be why he wrote these treatises. I do not know. I just know he gave them to me and told me to hang on to them.
Well, however, I'll tell you one thing. Your message couldn't be more right on than this evening, thinking about, you know, Trump's desire to go in and find as much voter fraud as possible and basically, you know, stir up controversy regarding the Voters' Rights Act. And usually they've found no disruption in voting, and it's usually a way to harass the people of color in the South, as JFK so rightly pointed out. But getting to the deeper message that I really liked and I thought was eloquent was that we're really, really striving toward oneness and unity and love, and that requires a certain level of lack of discrimination, lack of judgment on the other person's part, and this religious discrimination, too. No big ban on Muslims coming in, you know, from the Muslim countries. And I know he has a protective, fatherly approach to solving the dilemma of terrorism, but it is not through pigeonholing people for their race or religion that we come to a greater understanding of our neighbors, as Martin Luther King pointed out. Unless we can release our petty judgments and our prejudices, it will only increase
And it's not just about our current sitting president. It's about all the people across America. Far too many people will paint a good Muslim person with the same brush that they would tar and feather an Islamic terrorist.
Yeah.
Too many people will paint a good, decent, law-abiding citizen of color with the same brush that you might paint somebody who isn't, but just because they're black, you're suspicious of them.
Well, I think and Obama even our went through that as a youth. He talked about feeling so heartbroken when so many of those young black men were being murdered in our cities. And Trayvon Martin, he said, I was Trayvon Martin. I was that black kid in the hoodie, you know? So you know, how close can you get to death just because of your color? And how long does this need to go on? Why need we suffer this? We've already lived through the 60s and the civil rights. But, you know, on another level, too, all these great leaders were taken out at the same time to get the United States back to where it was all white and all right, you know? It was like, that seems to be the ulterior motive, and I hope I'm not offending any listeners this evening, because I'm not saying that that's the direction we're going in, but frankly, you have to look at it and wonder what happened to civil rights, and have we come far enough, you know?
Well, I know for myself, I have been trying to moderate my reaction to the presidential outcome. Not that I was a big rah-rah fan of either of the candidates, but we must be careful in our own reactions to the things that we are being presented with, because even though it's not Martin's message, in another message that he had given, that it was a treatise called Resistance of Fear. And if we give more power, emotional energy to those things we fear most, we're feeding them. We aren't feeding what we want.
Well, I'm hearing a slightly different take from JFK in his words, that he's pointing out that we are in danger and that our freedoms are eroding, and that we need to do more demonstrating and more speaking out in whatever way we feel is best effective.
Right. We
of
have
course,
the right
urging people to write their congressmen, senators, and ask, why are these laws being enacted without our will and consent? Why are we being subjected to all these different things? The fence, for instance, the $15 million fence. Nobody voted on that even, you know? It's just an edict. It's one edict after another with the courtiers there at the court of Trump, you know. It's like, oh, my God. So I take it as a wake-up call that these people are speaking from the beyond. Wake up, America. Don't let your freedoms go. Don't let your freedoms go. And it's a very important point. If you want peace and justice in the world, you have to work for it. You have to make your voice heard. So...
You need to disagree in the constitutional way.
Yes.
Peaceful demonstration. Get a hold of your elected officials. Come down on the side of what you want. Don't power the anger and the fear and the loathing and fall down on the side of the fence of discrimination. Stand for what you want, but do it in a way so as not to... Because another thing Martin Luther King talked about in these treatises, which really blew me away when I received it, because, quite frankly, I was not only humbled by his words, but I had never in my life, not that I knew a whole lot about Martin Luther King, actually working with him, I had to do some research because I didn't know...
I know, and the way you received it in the form of treatises and everything, it deserves to be published. I mean, really, you should think about taking the time to do it and working possibly with Dorothy Mercer. She's a wonderful publisher. But, you know.
I'll get her contact number from you. But what I was going to say is one of the things that he talked about early on in the treatises was in his leading of the civil rights, he tried to lead a nonviolent demonstration, and he was very big about that.
Yeah, I know.
But one of the things that he said in the treatises, which blew me out of the water, I had to reread it after I typed it several times, was he said, while I was on one hand, and I'm paraphrasing here, okay, while I was working in a nonviolent way, I have come to realize that I was using the other side's fear as a catalyst. I was purposefully doing things to heighten their fear to get the backlash that would get our movement known. And he says how much he regrets that, that he understands now that to feed into fear, whether it's your own, or to feed fear to another...
In the mass consciousness. I know.
Yeah, it does not produce the outcome of peace that you want.
I agree, and fear is the opposite of peace, that's for sure. But there are many people that are in fear, as we speak this evening, that are immigrants that are afraid of being deported. There are people that want to come to this country very badly and need to come to this country, like the Syrian refugees that are going to be turned away. And our world is in a fearful place right now, and I feel that the administration is creating some of this drama and some of this fear. There's without a doubt they're creating fear and drama. And I take these warnings personally, and I share them on the show because I want to make people aware not to go into fear, but to go out and do whatever they feel they need to do to make sure that we have a democracy. Because I'm sensing this intense hatred for the press on his part, and he's very hostile, and he lashes out, and Kellyanne Conway's always smarting off whenever she's on a show, and she's saying things like, well, he's the president, he knows best, and, you know, it's best not to question, just best to shut up and let him do his job. It's just, this is undemocratic. I have never heard that kind of expression in my entire life from any kind of administration, and I'm not saying it in a fearful way, I'm saying in a cautionary way. There's a difference. Caution and beware, you know. But I also think that there's a good chance that this racial stuff is going to blow up again, and I hope not. And I think there's a good chance that the peaceful demonstrations of many will cause something else to give, because I still feel that there's a lot of things that are hidden that haven't been investigated that need to be investigated, such as his ties to Putin, which Diana has correctly pointed out quite a few times. But I think when you're talking about that, I agree that you should take an even keel and try not to let yourself get too upset when you watch the news. Because whenever I watch the news and my husband watches, he starts screaming at the television, calling his friends, oh, Trump did this, Trump did that. You know, it's like, oh, my God, not this, not this. And it seems like every day there's a new edict, you know, like as if we're supposed to just take it and swallow it. Like, that's fine. Okay, so we you know, nobody can travel out of the country. I happen to know people that have relatives in other countries that have green cards, and they're not going to be able to go back home without coming, you know, here again, you know. So I'm thinking of the people that I do know that are immigrants that have recently relocated to the United States, beautiful people, Hindu people, and my sister-in-law, she's a lovely person, and she's got a green card. She's married to my brother. She has to go through her citizenship process. You know, so there's a lot of people going to be affected by these various edicts, you know. So it's a little bit concerning. That's all I'm saying. But I agree with you. I don't think that it will shake the American scene to the degree that it will cause a war. Let's hope not. But it seems like there's a lot of saber rattling going on in the tweets as well. So I'm just feeling the heat, and I deal with world affairs. Diana had a message to give this evening, too. I don't know if we have time for it. I think we do. Let me check my time. It's like a quarter till now. But I thought, you know, what you shared with Dr. King was really very timely and apt, and it's very interesting that it was 10 years ago that you got it. So he's got that gift of eloquence, just as JFK did. So here goes with Diana. She's saying Congratulations, darling, on the release of your first book, Princess Diana's Message of Peace. It will serve as a very fine testament to our efforts to warn the Bush administration that going into Iraq was a foolish idea, that most of my predictions, in fact, did come true. It's a beautiful book illustrated with your wonderful watercolors, and it makes it all the more special. I'm pleased because I'm holding a copy on the other side, and both Robert and I are, it's glowing here, and we're pursuing it at our leisure and the fine points of your work. So she's talking about Robert Murray. And then I say, Diana, is there anything you'd like to address our audience with regarding world affairs? And Theresa May visiting the White House today and meeting with Trump. It seems timely that she happens to be visiting America this morning with a new president. And Diana says, Theresa May is a fine and honest woman. Although a conservative, I feel she will work very well with your president, and warned him of his extreme right-wing ideas, such as building the fence and also waterboarding. Britain will not condone nor work with someone that wants to operate in such primitive and illegal ways. America, and this is not my place to say what America does, by the way, but America has no right to break international law. My main concern, as Theresa May will express to your president, is the borders of the Eastern Bloc nations are under threat. As we speak, there are nuclear weapons aimed at Slovenia, Belarus, Poland, all over Eastern Europe, and including the most serious offenses with the Ukraine. Whether Trump likes it or not, presidential, but it's imperative, whether he likes it or not, that the United States and the EU remain generally united in defense with the NATO troops along the borders, as your senators John McCain and Lindsey Graham have pointed out. That is good strategy for America. And befriending Putin is my greatest fear and concern. Putin has been meddling in the United States elections, and while Trump wants to call for a recount, which is futile because the votes were cast and counted in a very legal way, as I read the records from here, the real problem is the meddling of the Russian government into the election that caused Hillary to lose. This is the real Trump card, and Putin would continue to meddle in elections across the world, most especially France, Britain, and all the EU countries, plus the Eastern European bloc countries, which he seeks to reclaim, as his greed and lust for power is never ending. He is a war criminal, and he should be prosecuted in a criminal war court in The Hague. He has no business running the country of Russia, and he does, in fact, as we read the records, have ties to Trump. I think the CIA and the FBI should begin investigating Mr. Trump's ties to President Putin in this election business. While the election was rigged, it was rigged in Trump's favor, let it be said. Petty foolishness, this world has no time for pettish foolishness. When we see the North Korean dictator threatening nuclear war just yesterday and missiles on Japan and the United States, Trump can't afford to write his Twitter account and mouth off to all these world leaders, and I would warn everyone to think that China is the real problem here. Trump dislikes China and wants to cut off ties in trade and make it harder for China to trade. As I read the records, I will see likely instigate something bigger. We would ask our listeners this evening to pray for world peace and to pray for all world leaders to come to terms that this is building and building and building within the nuclear threat must end, especially in Iran. If Trump were to threaten or pull out of the Iran deal, which I foresee he may do next week, that would be a devastating blow to the world and to the NATO forces and to the United Nations agreements that were signed under President Obama and the fine leadership of the Secretary of State Kerry. I don't approve of the Iran deal totally, but it's better than nothing. And I, for one, foresee Iran as another emerging enemy to the Trump administration. He better get advice from his State Department people, and I see that they all have left in droves in rebellion against him. And it's not wise to go spouting off on Twitter, making brash and aggressive statements against known enemies of the United States and the allied nations. Our world this evening, as I speak, is on a rocky precipice, and the fool is standing on the very edge of the precipice, declaring himself king of the world. He better watch what he says. Whilst my wisdom was intended for all of the presidents of the United States and the prime ministers of England, it will not be heard, I'm afraid, because the fool doesn't want to hear anything but his braggart voice. When people become addicted to the sound of their own voice and make choices for the people, such as the $15 million wall, I have a hard time taking a person like that seriously in a democracy, no less. This evening, I bid all your listeners a good evening. I am Diana. I am the princess of the peaceful planet in this evening anyway. We look forward to hearing more from Rose. So that was her message. So she has a particular opinion on Trump, shall we say. But she does still continue her extreme wisdom. So she knows where the trouble spots are, and we're sending out peace to all those areas, to all the world leaders, even to President Trump, as he would, you know, be in control of these great and vast decisions, and he needs to use more moderation, according to Diana. So what did you think of the message, Rose?
Well, I think it's very true, some of it. I'm not as up on political things as a lot of people, so I have to say I don't know if all that she said is true, because I don't follow that kind of stuff. I try to stay with my head up in the spiritual realms when I can.
Yeah, I do follow it all, because this is my charge. This is
We talked about that on your
world
last
service.
Show.
Yeah.
Your role is to be involved in the political peacekeeping end, and mine is to take dictation of, they seem to talk more about the, I don't know what you would say, you know, if you know about the universal laws and the laws of deliberate creation, an overriding theme of what seems to come from me is watch what you're creating. You know, realize that your thoughts and your words are very powerful.
And well, absolutely.
And don't give credence to what you do not want. Focus upon what you want and act in a legal, democratic, proper, ethical way to state what you want and to hold what you want in your heart. And not to be swayed as much by the fear of, oh, we don't want that. But again, that's the kind of work that they're doing through me. You're involved in the whole political peacekeeping. So that's why our messages, I find, are dovetailing, but with a slightly different
It's very similar. But it doesn't need to be the same message, because she has different messages for all of her channels. And we're nearing the end of the show already. But I think her words are quite profound, and she's right on, and she's called it spade a spade this evening, and I think we have more than one spade in the deck of cards this evening, the full card as well, the Trump card.
She was far keener than people gave her credit.
Oh, she was really sharp. Yes, she was, and she still is. And she still is the Queen of Hearts forevermore, and she sends out her eternal love to all those listening. And thank you again for joining us, Rose, and we're going to close out. I'm going to give your website, and I'm going to give my email and website. My email is Marcia, M-A-R-C-I-A, like Marcia, D-I, 2002, at yahoo.com. If you'd like to contact me about the show, or you'd like a reading, or a Reiki session, or a hypnosis session, and Rose, you are at sessionswithspirit.info/links, and Rose does wonderful readings with spirit, and she's very profound and awesome. And we thank Dr. Martin Luther King, we thank Princess Diana, and we thank John Fitzgerald Kennedy. Awesome message from him this evening. And we're going to close out with the song Remarkable Diana in honor of the late Diana, as produced by Robert Murray, and The Stars Still Shine. We thank James, and we thank the late John Lennon for channeling in the lyrics to Remarkable Diana.